What in the world does Pentecost mean to you or to me? What does it mean? Well, on the surface, as anybody knows that's been anywhere close to Christianity, Pentecost has come to mean the giving of the Holy Spirit, you know, in general. You ask any Christian, I won't go like this. I won't do that. But you ask anybody and they will say it meant the coming of God's Holy Spirit. Well, that's true. That's true. There's no getting around that. But the more important meaning is what happened to the people who received that Holy Spirit afterwards. That's the big thing. That was the more important thing. And it happened to them in a very big and exciting way. And that new excitement became contagious. I mean, it was shared. It was shared by many other people. I know on that day it was 120 initially that received that Holy Spirit, but later, what, 3,000 more, almost like that? If I could make that noise. There, like that. Almost. And then after that, it grew and it grew and it grew. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 16, because I'm not going to talk about that. I know that there are others that are going to talk about that. But what I want to talk about is, did you know? This is my big point. There are three clearly different names for Pentecost. Now, you know Pentecost because I've been talking about that and you've been thinking about that, but there are two other names that are not quite as well known. That's what I'm going to give you in this very short sermonette today. So Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. I better open my book too. Deuteronomy 16, 16. It says, three times in a year, all your males, notice that word, all your males shall appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We've kept that already. At the Feast of Weeks. I wonder when the Feast of Weeks is. And at the Feast of Tabernacles. I know what that is. We're going to Montana this year. I'm looking forward to that. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. So here, God calls Pentecost the Feast of Weeks. Why? Why do you call it the Feast of Weeks? Well, pretty simple reason. The answer is that Pentecost comes about seven weeks after Passover in the Days of Unleavened Bread. And I say about, and I'm not going to go into that. One of our erudite scholars, we have two or three of them here, they can explain to you why I said about 7 weeks. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 16 again. We're not going to be far from there, but I want you to notice, and this time we will start at verse 10. Okay? This is important, so don't miss it. Then you shall, once again, this is God giving his instructions to Moses, then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks, okay, we know that's another name for Pentecost, to the Eternal your God with the tribute of a free will offering from your hand, which you shall give to the Eternal your God as he blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Eternal your God. Now, this is a big deal. You're going to be happy next week, right? Rejoice before the Lord your God. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, whoever they are, who is within your gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you in the place where the Eternal God chooses to make his name abide. Why did I make that big point? Because if you read Deuteronomy 16:16, it says all the males come. But that's not what God wanted. He wanted everyone. He wanted the males. He wanted the females. He wanted the children. He wanted the servants. He wanted every single person that was possible, who could. He wanted them all to come. Now, there's a reason. I can't go into that in a 10-minute, 15-minute sermonette. But there are reasons why God took the time to delineate every single person who could possibly be in that household. We need to talk about that. That's a good thing to talk about later. Brethren, when God has a feast, they want everybody who can, you know, some can't, but they want everybody who can. They want everyone to come. So that takes care of the name Feast of Weeks. How about the name Spring Harvest Festival? Now, you're not going to believe this, but this is the truth. I'm going to read exactly what I did. I looked this up online, and here's what I got. Spring Harvest Festival. Farmers Market. Join us for the Farmers Market 9th Annual Spring Harvest Festival on Saturday, May 3rd, 2025. Oh, wait a minute. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This beloved event marks the start of the Farmers Market You know, you can look things up online and you can get a lot of truth. But sometimes you can get things from Georgia. This was from Georgia. They wanted me to come to Georgia and celebrate the Spring Harvest Festival. And we've already missed that. But don't miss Pentecost next week. Now, it does have one of the correct names, the one that they had in Georgia. Let's see, is it finished? No. Went on for 2 or 3 weeks. It did have one of the correct names. But I want to introduce the third name by saying this. Please go to Jeremiah 5:23. Jeremiah 5:23. And the way this thing starts, it's a little rough. Scared me. I went, oh no, I don't want to use this one. Look at this one, Jeremiah 5:23. But this people, and when they say this people, I get the feeling they're talking about us in the United States or the rest of the world too. This people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Doesn't that sound like, kind of, a little bit, in some ways, like the United States of America? Verse 24, they do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Eternal our God, who gives, and here's the point, who gives rain, both the former and the latter rain, in its season. In its season. He reserves rain for the appointed weeks of the harvest. So, what's the point? You go, what's that got to do with Pentecost? I see people out there kind of frowning at me like, oh, what's that got to do with? Because Pentecost comes at a particular season of the year. And God, both Father and Son, gave us seasons to do what? To raise crops. Okay, raise your hand if you're a farmer. Not one hand is raised. We don't know anything about raising crops, do we? I mean, really? My mom was a farmer from Kansas. She knew something about raising crops. But what do we know? Well, God knows everything about raising crops. And God knows if you don't have rain in the correct season, you won't have any crops, whatever that word is. You won't have it. You have to have rain. You have to have sunshine. You have to have it at the right time. And God has designed their holy days to come at particular times of the year. But I don't know anything about raising crops. I have, you know, I got a few fruit trees, and Suzanne and I, we have some vegetables, tomatoes, you know. But what do we know about harvesting at the correct season of the year? God knows everything, and we had better catch on. Now let's go to Leviticus 23 to kind of end this. Leviticus, well, at least come to a conclusion. Leviticus 23, we all know that God's holy days, they're all listed there in Leviticus 23, God's Sabbath first, but I want to focus our attention on a particular word. Leviticus 23, verse 10 gets us going. I spoke about the wave sheaf the last time I was up here and spoke. Verses 11 through 14 all powerfully emphasize the importance of harvesting for all you farmers. You're not farmers. Everything that God, in their mercy and kindness and love, have given to us humans. But we have to harvest it correctly. You got to do it right. Once again, I don't think I'm talking to a bunch of farmers, but if we didn't have farmers who worked early morning to late at night for the food, we'd all starve to death. Verses 15 and 16 of Leviticus 23 tell us how to get to Pentecost. But the end of verse 17, gives us the third and final name of the feast that we will celebrate on June 1st. So let's read it. Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 17. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave. We talked about the wave sheaf, or I did last time. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days on the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Eternal. You're going, yeah, I know all this. But wait. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah. How many of you have ephahs in your back pocket? No, nobody does. Okay, they shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. And they are the first fruits to the Eternal. So what's the third and final name for the Feast of Pentecost? Pentecost? We mostly call it Pentecost, but it's also the Spring Harvest Festival and the Feast of First Fruits. So why is that important? Jesus is the very first person, to have lived as a person, died as a person, and then been resurrected to continue for him eternal life. The reason this is a really big deal is because most so-called Christians believe, because they've been taught wrongly, that if they're good, they'll go to heaven. That's a bunch of bunk. I could have said other things, different French, but if we read, study, participate in, and understand God's holy days, especially Pentecost, also called the Feast of First Fruits, we will want to follow our Lord and Master Jesus, the very first of the first fruits, who after his death was raised to glory in the very real world that exists beyond today. He was the first of the first fruits. We can be a part of the rest of the first fruits. Let's all be there then.